The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private. Trust Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick.
This is News Talk.
Well, now let's leave the travails of 2020 for a short while as we go back to the 1960s for a song from the folk scene at the time. This one is written by Tom Paxton, although he never quite became a household name. You'll almost certainly be familiar with his music and this classic song, which is The Last Thing on My Mind. Paul Harrington, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Yes, it's definitely a song that's been around for a long, long time. And as you say, not a household name, but it's been recorded by literally dozens and dozens of artists and, you know, some of the biggest artists over many decades. But it's a song that kind of came in and out of my life for a variety of reasons. And it always struck me as a really versatile song, you know, and particularly when you listen, and I've been listening recently to some of the various recordings and the versions. But years ago in the 80s, I was in a band with my brothers, you know, and we used to sing it at gigs with a big three-part harmony on the chorus, which was really, really very powerful. And the audience, of course, would be straight in there with you. You know, are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? I could have loved you better. Didn't mean to be unkind. You know, that was the last thing on my mind. And it was a great kind of crowd pleaser. But it was a song then that kind of showed up some years later, which is about 20 years ago now, when I was an entertainer in situ or in residence, as they say, in a place called Lily's Bordello, long gone now. And this is where celebs would party and let their hair down. But a lot of them would have a party piece. And there was one particular guy when he'd be in town, and it's not Eamon Dunphy, but when he'd be in town, he loved to do The Last Thing on My Mind. But he sang it very, very delicately and reverentially. And when I was listening back to Tom Paxton recently, you know, I was just thinking about it's what brought this guy to mind. And he sings it in this almost resigned, but a very, very dignified way of accepting the end of something very important, which is a relationship. You know, and nothing groundbreaking, as we know, in terms of subject matter. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, most of us, if not all of us, have worn those shoes at one point or other, and being dignified would be the furthest thing from your mind. But anyway, that's when you're being given the heave-ho. But as I say, it's a song that, you know, very, very versatile and dignified, which is a thumbs up for me for a song.
Now, Paul, before we proceed, you're teasing me. Who was the celeb who sang it so well?
You know, it's a longer story. I'll tell you at the end. I'll keep you in suspense. I'll tell you just before I sing it.
Often the killer blow in a song or the killer line is in the chorus, or maybe revealed later on in the narrative of the song. But this one, it's the very opening. It's a lesson too late for the learning.
Yeah, it's right there, you know, made of sand. And, you know, in the twink of an eye or a wink of an eye, my soul is turning in your hand. I mean, you know, a lot of people actually call it that. It's a lesson too late from the learning. That's they kind of know that. But there it is right there as the realization hits you like a sledgehammer. And I suppose if you're going to be writing a song and you want to get somebody's attention or grab somebody's attention, the opening line, very, very important. And, you know, you and I have talked about this throughout this series, you know, from lines like Joan Armatrading's Love and Affection. What an opening line. I'm not in love, but I'm open to persuasion. And then, of course, you know, something like, and now the end is near. I mean, there's so many classic lines to choose from, but what I do find and listening to songs, and which I am even more closely these days doing this series, but I find the nearer they are to the truth, the greater the resonance. But although I was saying that there's an air of dignity and resignation about this song, he's also taken some responsibility and ultimately taken the blame. If you listen to the lines, you know, I could have loved you better. I didn't mean to be unkind. You know, that was the last thing on my mind. But I defer to a writer from the American Songwriter magazine. And the writer was saying that the songwriter takes responsibility for not having held up his end of the emotional bargain. And he pays the ultimate price for letting the weeds steadily grow, you know, just watching it happening, I suppose. And you've got reason of plenty for going, this I know. Please don't go. Please don't go. So there's still a bit of fight left in this, what I call a gracious mea culpa, but it's ultimately remorseful.
Now, Tom Paxton himself, he's 82. And yeah, he's decided it's about time I stopped touring. And it wasn't the pandemic that slowed him down.
Well, exactly right. Yeah. I mean, you know, he released his last album back in 2019. But back in 2019, that seems like about 20 years ago now with all this pandemic. But only last year, called The Essential, presumably The Essential Tom Paxton. But he decided it was time to hang up his touring boots, which was lovely that he made the decision, you know, that to pack it in before the COVID struck. But if ever a guy deserved a rest from touring, Tom Paxton sure did at 82, as you say. But going back to his beginnings, you know, he like a lot of other folk singers, started right there in the melting pot of Greenwich Village in the 60s. And you know, all sharing ideas, I presume, cross-pollinating with all the fledgling folk singers, all of varying talents, but all of them, you know, musical icons to be, you know, from whether it's Bob Dylan or you know, Judy Collins or Joan Baez, all these people that were there. But I mean, you know, they're all A-listers to this day. But speaking of lists, the last thing on my mind, recorded by, as I mentioned earlier, a cast of thousands, too long to read out. But there is one notable recording that I found interesting, that it actually gave birth to an unlikely musical trio, and that was Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner. Now, this they were a duo, but Dolly used to sing on his TV show. There's a whole lyrics of the thing, by the way, in this. But she ultimately worked with him. She got her break on Porter Wagoner's TV show. They recorded 13 albums together, but she wanted to go solo. And they had this kind of love-hate relationship, and she wanted to move on anyway. But as we know, she did in spades. But Porter had different plans, and he wasn't happy at all with where she was heading. And so he filed a lawsuit, which is interesting. He ultimately dropped when he heard a song that she had written for him. That song is "I Will Always Love You," which, of course, we know as the huge. I know, it's incredible, isn't it, when you think how far back that is. But and, you know, there was a lovely thing where Dolly was saying, you know, "I just decided to do what I do best, write songs. And I wrote him a song, and obviously it just dissolved everything." And many years later, they got back together to perform the Grand Ole Opry. But that's, as I say, another story. But I did stumble upon this lovely BBC documentary called Sisters in Country, and it's very great watch, you know. But it emerged through all these interviews with Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris. This is the trio I'm talking about. This, they came together. It was all because of this song, because they all had this song in common. They loved the Dolly and Porter version of The Last Thing on My Mind. And through, you know, various mechanisms and 6 degrees of separation, anyway, they all got together. When you think of it, Dolly from Tennessee, Emmylou from Washington, and Linda from Arizona. But as I say, they formed a hugely successful trio in the 1980s. But there's more to that than meets the eye, you know, which we hope we might get to go into again, you know.
Now, before you play the piano and sing the song, yeah, Tom Paxton's Last Thing on My Mind, who was that singer, Ladies Bordello?
I'm sworn to secrecy, Pat. It'll come out in my memoirs. I'll tell you what, I'll leave you. I'll say it was either Ronnie Wood, Ken Doherty, or Johnny Giles. I'll let you take your pick.
All right, Paul.
I'll let you match it up. Will do. Okay, cheers. Thanks, Pat.
It's a lesson too late for the learning, made of sand, made of sand. In the way of an eye, my soul is turning, in your hand, in your hand. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better. I didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. You got reason plenty for going. This I know, this I know. For the weeds have been steadily growing. Please don't go, please don't go. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better. I didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. And as I lie in my bed in the morning, without you, without you, every song in my breast dies a burning. Without you, without you, are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I should have loved you better. I didn't mean to be unkind. Well, you know that was the last thing on my mind. You know that was the last thing on my mind.
Oh, beautiful performance from Paul Harrington, Tom Paxton's The Last Thing on My Mind.